Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and we just read a scripture about Jesus told this one that had been healed to go and offer the sacrifice that Moses had commanded.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
This is Landon from Camas, Washington.
And where were we? We were in 12, verses 12 through 16, right? 5, 12 through 16.
Yeah, and I was looking at in verse 14 when it says, "But go and show yourselves to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, and a testimony to them." So there's two kinds of testimonies that are happening there. One is that Jesus is still enforcing what Moses had laid forth in the commandments many years ago. And the other being, cleansings are happening, and it's not where you are, as in the priests.
It doesn't call leprosy a healing. It calls it a cleansing.
Cleansing, which is interesting.
Yeah. So to go and get healed, the person that's healing you must know what he's doing, whether it's a healing or a cleansing or a
rebuking,
casting out demons or whatever, they have to know it.
These are rules.
And what works, what doesn't work, you know, like if you can't, you know, if a guy got diabetes, you don't treat his eyes, his go get him glasses or a hearing aid. You've got to treat the particular disease or whatever, yes.
So now we've seen three different kinds of healings.
And he calls this infirmities.
Infirmities.
Now, so if this is an infirmity, another place they called it a spiritual infirmity, this actually, again, could be a cleansing of a demonic type of disease that's brought on by demons again. Mm-hmm. And when you see that word infirmity, that often is used about a demonic attack on a person's body, not on their mind, not on their heart, but on their body. So a healing is a healing, no matter what part of the body it is. But this lends me to think that this is actually a spiritual, it has to do with a demonic spirit. It's not really clear on that, but that's just, when you read all these different ones, that has two earmarks that tells you that.
Well, and Jesus, he also said, said if you're willing to cleanse, it says, while he was in one of the cities, both the man covered with leprosy, and we saw Jesus fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So he's not asking to be healed. He's asking to be made clean.
And another place it talked about unclean spirits.
So that goes right with that.
Doesn't
cleansing.
It? There's three things that if you combine all these evidences. Okay, next context, 17, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26.
One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and let him down through the tiles with the stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home." Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went home, glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Now, this is not really made clear here that they're actually in Capernaum, in Jesus' city where he's living. He left his hometown where he grew up as a kid from a certain age, not from a baby, but later on. And he got up when he was 30 years old, it looks like, and moved to Capernaum.
And that's the reason he did leave and go to Capernaum is because...
Well, he left his mother and father.
They ran him out of town. They were going to try to kill him and throw him, and he left. I mean, that is matching. He didn't stay there, and it said he left his mother and father. Well, sure he did. As they tried to throw him over a cliff, he left right after that.
Now, the main scripture in Mark, this whole story is right in Mark. And this is in Mark 2. I'll just read just enough to show you that this is the same thing that's happening in Mark 2. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. At home. If he's at home, whose house is it?
Well, if he's at home, it's probably his home.
Well, it's his house.
Probably his house.
And many were gathered together, and that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door, and he was preaching the word to them. And then they came and bringing in a paralytic carried by four men. So this back to this where we are in Luke 5:17. He's in Capernaum. He's in his house. So that's why he didn't get too upset about tearing the roof off, because one thing, he's a carpenter. But the other, he's the creator, so roof be replaced, no problem. Anyway, so they tore the roof off, and this is the account in Luke. On one of those days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law. This tells you even more about Mark 2, learning and being a servant, that now there's Pharisees and teachers of the law there sitting by, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Is that what Pannon says?
Yeah.
It says the same thing. Now, I didn't pick up on that.
They were Pharisees from Galilee. So now all of these people that are, this is the way they're first starting to see him. They're hearing about him, and they're coming. Well, the guy came as a testimony.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean all these guys, all these religious guys are bad guys. Well, some might just be coming because maybe they're not following the chief priests, and they know there's something's happening. They're seeing it.
So some of them are good.
I'll bet you're going to find some division in the church as we go along
over
in
things.
This. Yeah, you're not going to find, because
that makes sense.
Doesn't a guy sneak over by night one time, one of these religious guys? Why do you think he went at night? Because he wouldn't be popular.
Yeah. So here are people right here that were, they got that witness to them, and that witness thing happened. And the next thing you see, wasn't that right? A witness, and literally the next context says all of these came over there. So that witness must have done something. It's chronological. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it is interesting.
Especially when you put him back in his home house. Then you know whose roof being torn off. He's not around Jerusalem. He's not in Samaria. He's far away from the center. But there were people from all over now. They're going to his house. They know where he lives.
Pharisees and doctors of the law.
They were coming out of every village. They came out of every village of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. He's drawing people from all over.
And they're coming this way.
And when the Pharisees, the leaders, see that the whole nation is going after him, that's when they plot to kill him. We're going to lose our jobs. We're not going to have any money. We're going to be begging. I'll bet this is not being taught in churches. I wonder why. This is in the Bible. And the reason is people don't read through their whole Bible. Read the book of Matthew, please. Read the book of Mark. Please, please, please do that. Read the book of Luke. Read that. Read the whole thing and you get the whole picture, not what a man tells you. You're going to say something, Jesse.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that he was not hiding. So when he came here, it was pretty well known throughout all these districts.
They got his address.
They got his address.
He was in Capernaum.
They don't have his phone number. They don't have his email account number.
That's right.
And why is that? Well, that's a little later.
A little later. But I mean, it wasn't a secret that he was there.
Right.
There's a parallel.
Wasn't doing it in secret.
Wasn't doing it in secret.
Not if he sent somebody to the priest to tell him as a witness.
No. And so there'll be another time when he doesn't do it in secret either. So.
Yeah. And so here he is, full of leprosy, and he is cleansed. And again, an unclean spirit. It doesn't say he needed a healing. He needed cleansed. And the only thing I can think of that is unclean is a demon. And it talked about an infirmity, and a spirit of infirmity in other places is a demon attack. Yes, it did. Infirmities, verse 15, to be cured of their infirmities. It didn't say healing, and that is tied to demon activity in the flesh. Again, in the mind, it is an oppression. In the heart, it is possession, demon possession. When they've taken over the pilot's seat, and maybe there's a problem with the ailerons on the plane, and that'd be a spirit of infirmity. It's in the flesh. It's out in an outlying part. I'm just comparing a man to an airplane in case we wanted to fly someday. Is there anything more? That's great observations.
When verse 20, it says, and seeing their faith, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven. And now here we go. The scribes and Pharisees begin to reason.
Oh, now we haven't read that context yet, have we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, we did.
We just read that one, yeah.
Where am I? I'm still back in the last context. Yes, keep going, Andy. Sorry to interrupt you.
So they saw my sins are forgiven. The scribes and Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? So that was their reasoning. That was the reasoning of some of these. Well, so because it was Pharisees and doctors from the village of Judea, Jerusalem, and Galilee, and here these guys say blasphemies, who can forgive sins? But Jesus, perceiving their reasonings, answered and said to them, why do you reason this in your heart? Was it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to thee, arise and take up your couch and go to your house.
Apparently they couldn't forgive sins. He says, who can forgive sins? Because they couldn't.
They couldn't do it.
But you know what? To have your sins forgiven, you must forgive others. So they were showing Jesus can because he overcame and forgave people's sins. He even said, your sins are forgiven. He might have even said something bad to Jesus, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven.
Well, these are guys about sins forgiven, and they can only think one thing. Bring me a you-know-what, bring me a bull, bring me a goat, or bring me some birds. And he's just sitting there right in the house and saying it. And what did he just take out of the whole picture? The priest, the animals, the sacrifice. He took everything out of the picture and just said it. I can do it right here.
And location.
And location. He's taking location. He's taking priest. He's taking everybody out of the picture.
Their jobs.
Which is easier to say, the sins are forgiven thee, but that you know it, I say to you, arise and take up your couch.
But he also showed that they were still under the law. I'll bet you they still had to go offer the sacrifices and so on as long as the law was still in effect.
Right.
I'll bet they still, I wonder if they didn't still have to. Because he told the one before, he doesn't always repeat what he says. Otherwise, he'd be saying,
this guy that had this done should go carry that as a witness too.
Yeah.
Because that was just the pattern that he set.
I
wouldn't have thought that, but I get it.
I'll bet they did. I'll bet they still had to obey that law.
Well, Jesus wouldn't change, would he?
He was a law keeper. I think he's looking at the future, but he probably explained that later. But all things are not written in the Bible. And yet, I would just
that is a reasoning snuggled right up to each other.
Yeah.
that's a context on a context. He told the guy, go back and offer to the priest. I'm sure he did it because he wouldn't go against the law.
Right.
Okay.
He was a law keeper, but if he didn't, I wouldn't care myself, but I still can't see him
changing.
Doing that.
He hasn't changed it yet because he couldn't.
I'll bet he still did, but it wasn't a focal point anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think he's already... He made
the focal point once.
I think he stated it in every one of the Gospels that it showed something like that. They were still to keep the law.
That's a good point.
I started collecting them. It's pretty clear in pretty much all the Gospels that they still had to keep the law until the moment he died on the cross, then stop. Done. It's no more.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. After reading for 15.
And you're right. If he says it one time, he doesn't have to say it every time. He's now going on to another point. These men are challenging it.
That didn't come right away, Andy. It's 52 years or 3 years of reading
good.
The Bible.
No, that's really good.
Yeah. But I started collecting those where he mentioned that and showed they were still under the Levitical law. And we don't want to be too, you know, like the scribes and the Pharisees, they were technically correct and spiritually and morally.
Right.
And they never hit the thing at the heart. They were messed up. And they killed him. They didn't know who the Lord was, and he's right there in front of them, if that tells you anything. And what's the next context?
27 to 39.
28.
Yep, it's till the end of the chapter. Landon's reading a book that has their own idea of context, and the Panons is numeric, and it shows that this is a full thought not to be interrupted from verse 27 to 39. Jesse, you want to?
Yeah, I can read that.
Yeah.
After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples after John often fast and offer prayer. The disciples of the Pharisees also do the same, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "You cannot make the attendants of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the day will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he was also telling them a parable. "No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the wineskins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old, wishes for new. For he says, the old is good enough."
So here's the story of the tax collector, and the Pharisees definitely don't like them. So you can call a tax collector, an IRS agent, whatever you want to call them, if we want to make it in today's terms, not a very well-liked position, becomes one of the 12 disciples. Matthew is his name. He wrote the book of, or he wrote it with his hand. It's God's breath. It's all scripture is hot off of God's breath. That word inspired, all scripture is inspired by God, is actually God breathed, hot off of God's breath. You could still feel the warmth of his words. And Levi becomes one of these, and he's at the place of toll, so he is definitely not a, he is on the same level as sinners. And the scribes and the Pharisees were murmuring. What's murmuring? Landon, do you know what the word murmur means?
To like talk under your breath.
How'd you know that? You're not supposed to know yet, that word. Talk under your breath. Actually, do you have a better explanation than that, Eddie?
That's pretty good.
I don't either. Talk under, I'll bet you never do that when your parents tell you to do something you don't want to do. Do you ever do that? He's laughing at me. His dad's laughing back. Ooh, I uncovered something. So when you're murmuring about it, you're not pleased, are you?
Not usually.
Okay. I caught him.
Got him to say something.
Yeah. No, that's a really good explanation of that word. So what'd you get out of that, Jesse?
Well, if you're murmuring, you know, and grumbling, there's an attitude that goes with that. Are you thankful and joyful?
No.
Or are you maybe realizing that there's some mind changing that has to happen and you don't want to do it? Because a lot of these guys in these accounts are being told that everything they've ever known, they're about to learn a better way. And that can be hard sometimes, huh?
So these disciples, all of them forsook, of course, one Judas Iscariot, but that's looking ahead. We're not supposed to know that. This is a surprise. None of them guessed who the betrayer was till the very end. They said, "Is it me, Lord?" They even questioned themselves, the 12 disciples. The other 11 did. And he forsook all, rose up, and followed him. So that is three steps. Can you see three steps in repentance right there? Matthew, it's called change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. But now when we're getting into this step, this third step after, then we learn servitude. Now in this step to become a disciple, it is, what are the three steps? Forsake all, rise up, and follow Jesus. Follow me. That adds a little bit more to it, doesn't it?
Some depth.
Yeah, forsaking all is a big term. Changing your mind's one thing, but, oh, by the way, that means to forsake all. I didn't know you meant that.
Well, Levi...
And did do what? Get up and follow me?
And rise up. In other words, get up. So let's say maybe you're lazy and don't want to do certain things. So maybe it's adding on to the servitude thing that you're not only learning servitude, but get up and do things. And you're learning immediacy in Mark, but now it's get up. Always be in the ready. And maybe they were allowed to sit, but now you're a little bit more ready to do things a little quicker because you're already up and follow him. And so this is still collecting the 12 disciples, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It didn't have those three, it wasn't in Matthew. It was change your mind and then... Two verses later in 4:19 of Matthew, follow me. And now, after learning the servitude, doing things so immediate, is now already taught. So now there's four things. There's four things total. Immediacy, uthos is a Hebrew word, forsake all, rise up, and follow me. Same thing as in Matthew. It's, that stays the same.
And he wasn't sad about it.
Mm-mm.
'Cause he went over to his house and had a great feast. He was extremely happy about what he'd done. Forsaking all, he loved it.
And there was a great crowd of tax collectors.
And he had a great crowd of tax collectors and publicans and others that were who? His folk. I mean, people he knew.
Could you imagine if the IRS emptied out and they started worshiping and following God?
Well, the witness that must have been to his counterparts for him. You know,
he was set free and from always being in adversity to the people, mm-hmm. always taking their money.
Yeah.
Now he's going to go out and give his whole life. I wonder how many tax collectors are going to be listening to this show.
Yeah.
There is a happier way, by the way. And your favorite people, tax collectors and sinners. The problem is we're all man is a sinner before he repents, and man still sins, but a sinner is a person it is given over to it that can't change. A son of God will sin. He says if any man says he does not sin, he's a what?
Liar.
Liar.
And the truth is not, and it goes even further, and the truth is not in him. But it doesn't mean he's always doing that. He should be learning. He should be less and less and less doing more like Christ would do and less what his nature would want him to do.
As we press on to know Christ.
Yeah. The path of the just is like the shining light.
And being quicker and quicker to repent when he sinned.
And forsake.
Yeah.
Remember the promise of forsaking all. You're still, you might be jettisoning things till the day you are set free. But by the time you leave, it's all gone. I've come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Oh, is that later? Is that the next context?
They were eating it, and there was a great crowd of these publicans and sinners. And so the Pharisees are there, and they were sitting, and they murmured and said to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Jesus answered and said, "The healthy have no need of a physician, but the ailing. I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance."
How many people have a sickness in them and they don't know it yet? How many people have a sickness and don't know it, and then they go to the doctor and they only have so many years to live? Do you think these publicans or the religious people actually were sick and just didn't know it yet. They just didn't admit it yet. And it's time that we must say goodbye again. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."